Lord.
Amen. We're not.
Amen, preacher.
We're not always good. We're often not. But that's what we ought to be shooting for if we're going to be like him. And he sets a perfect role model, a perfect example, doesn't he? God has been good to me. Amen. Take a Bible tonight. Go to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Now, this was somebody's from last night. Promise? Okay. He is probably drinking out of this bucket. I don't know. But. Amen. Revelation chapter 1. Is this like one for the week? Is that? Okay. Man, did you know my mom? Amen. Or my wife, for that matter. Amen. Revelation chapter 1, verse 18, the Bible says this: I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. He even said amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Is there any question tonight who's speaking there? Amen. Well, there shouldn't be. It says, I am he that liveth and was dead. Behold, I am alive.
Amen.
You believe that?
Yes.
I believe that. I'll look around a room, and I tell some of you might remember April 8th, 1966, man, Time Magazine came out with this cover. How many remember that? I know you do. You see that? See that? You don't remember that. Amen. That's the cover. That's the first cover Time Magazine had done since its inception in 1923. That didn't have a photograph or a graphic artistic image of some sort. It just had three words, April 8th, 1966. I was 13. You were about 21. And and that remains to this day Time Magazine's most infamous and responded to magazine cover. It inspired something, a renewed embrace of atheism in the tumultuous 60s. Amen. Which is pretty foolish, because to say, is God dead, contradicts the very concept of atheism in the first place, which is there is no God, there never was a God, God never existed. And when they put out a cover that is God dead, that fired the atheist. Now you know why the Bible says in Psalm 14, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God.
Amen.
They make fools of themselves.
Amen.
Amen. And so now I'm from, I was born in Lawrence County, Tennessee. And I know you can tell by my accent. And now I was raised in Northern Ohio. But I would go down to my hometown often. My parents lived there, and it's in pretty close to the buckle of the Bible Belt. Amen. And so when a person from that community has a reputation of being an atheist, amen, it gets around. And I remember going by a cemetery with my dad, driving down the road. He said, in there, turn left, turn right, turn left, go down two rows, and you'll find the grave of the atheist. And in that community, everybody knew what that meant. It's not that everybody believed in God, but not too many people were dumb enough to admit it.
Amen.
They're bold enough, whatever. But this fella, I'm going to read you his tombstone. His name was William J. Gilbreth. 1864 to 1934. He was 70 years old when he died. It says on the tombstone, Captain, 1st Tennessee Infantry, Spanish-American War. And under it, it says this, he made his life the best he could. No fear of God, no love of Jesus, no thought of future punishment or reward controlled his acts. His mind was free from religious or other superstition. His sense of right and justice was the law he obeyed. This was one of the most admirable men in the community. He was charitable. He was honest. He was moral. Amen. Highly respected war hero. But he wanted to make it known throughout the ages that he didn't believe in God. Since 1934, Captain Gilbreth has he's been clear on that fallacy. Amen. We're talking about the Lord tonight. God, in 1882, you feel like you're in history class, don't you? A German philosopher, world famous, probably the predominant philosopher in his field. His name was Friedrich Nietzsche. Did I say it right? Yeah, because my wife helps me a lot. And he stood in front of a symposium. I'm not sure if that's what it was, but doesn't that make me sound smarter than I actually am? What in the world is a symposium? Amen. Sounds kind of feminine to me. Anyway. Thank you. It's important that you feel that way. And so there's a couple hundred philosophers of his day, and they'll look up to him as the authority. And he made a declaration, and he said, God is dead. And, of course, we know. I mean, we've already affirmed that. We believe it. It says in Revelation chapter 1, Nietzsche was wrong.
Amen.
Was he not?
Yes, sir.
A lot of idiots believed him, swallowed it, hook, line, and sinker, and we just made another, you know, step toward where we are today. Amen. On August 25th, 1900, 18 years later, God declared Nietzsche was dead. God was right.
Amen.
So we're going to talk about this thinking. I'm going to call this message, God's Not Dead.
Amen.
All right. So truth be known, though, in all fairness, the gods of religion are dead. That's why you have a term you're familiar with, dead religion.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I didn't get any of it.
Amen.
I didn't get any kind of religion.
Amen.
I got saved.
Amen.
Like you heard prayed, I got washed in the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen. But I went to Bible school while I was on federal paper, and I had to learn a little bit about religion. And so the God of Buddhism, you know, that thing comes in and out of fashion. The God of Buddhism, Buddha, he's dead. He died at 80 years old. His ashes are kept in a vase, mason jar, I don't know. They're kept in a vase somewhere in a temple somewhere in India. Once a year, they're brought out, put in a casket, paraded yearly 70 miles. People carrying it on their shoulders. Not that heavy, you know, because just... And his ashes are put in this temple, and people worship that for a few hours. They flock, many, many people. They carry him back, and they put him back on the shelf. Amen? That's it. That's a worldwide, world-famous religion. And I'm here to tell you, Buddha's dead. Let me tell you something else. Muhammad's dead. He's dead. They're not even a secret. I mean, you can visit his gravesite. Yeah, he's buried, under the Green Dome above the Tomb of the Prophets in Medina, Saudi Arabia. Amen. He's buried there. It's not a secret. That is the premier Muslim tourist attraction.
Yes, sir.
I mean, if you're a Muslim and you want to go on vacation, Where, hey, honey, where do you want to go? Let's go to Mohammed's grave. I'm sure, you know, when you're going to Orlando, that's in Florida. When you're going to Orlando on the side of the interstate, you'd see big signs advertising discount tickets for Disney. And if you're dumb enough to listen to a three-hour thing trying to get you to buy a condo, they'll give you a discount. I don't know that by experience. I'm just counting on you not either. Amen. But I'm sure you can get online and get discount tickets for to visit Muhammad's grave because Muhammad's dead.
Amen.
Tell you something else. Joseph Smith is dead. Yeah, he's dead. I mean, nobody's trying to pretend he's not. He was 38 years old when he died. Amen. And here's what I read. Here's how it went. Fearing threats of grave desecration made Joseph's enemies, by Joseph's enemies, made his family put sandbags in a casket and buried them in the city cemetery. They're afraid they're going to dig him up. So they did a fake and they put his remains in a secret thing and buried him under a basement of a house, and then they moved him under a shed, and now there's no written documents, no records marking the grave, and nobody even knows where his remains are.
Who cares?
Can I get an amen?
Amen.
The interesting thing is nobody robbed his grave in the first place. Amen. The God of Mormonism is dead, Joseph Smith. But I got news for you. I'm back and forth across the country. I rode through Salt Lake City on my Harley 2 years ago. You'd never know it riding through there, some of them places out west. Amen? Listen, the question is, God dead? That's what Time Magazine asked, and I'm going to answer it. Of course, you know the answer, but listen to me tonight. The God of the Bible is not dead. Now let's pray again. Father, I love you. I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, thankful that I can do that because I know you personally as Lord and Savior. And it ain't because I cleaned up my act or started going to church house instead of the dope house. It's because there was a day when I bowed my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, confessed something. Him and I already both knew I was a hell-deserving sinner. And Lord, I ask that if that sacrifice you made on that cross could include the likes of me, I'd be a fool not to get in on it. And I ask if I could get in on it. And I had no clue, no idea what I was getting into, but I sure was counting on what I was getting out of. Thank you for saving my soul from hell. Now, Lord, you let me get up here today and say something. A bunch of people in here, I don't know their spiritual condition. And I would say this, if there's anybody in here that might know of God and heard the names, but never made a peace with God, never received Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, I pray that tonight would be the night they get a lot closer. Pray that even tonight, perhaps they just humble themselves and get honest with God and trust in that sacrifice and pray and ask Christ to forgive them. I pray tonight for the saints. I pray they be edified. They're not going to hear anything they haven't heard before. Pray that the message just reaffirms some things we already know, gives us some strength for the battle in the days to come. I love you, Lord Jesus Christ, and I thank you for just being so good to me. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look with me, and let's just start in verse number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And pretty familiar passage in this crowd. And it ought to be. You'd think I'd know where it is in the Bible by now, but it's in there somewhere. Amen. This only happens when I'm like got 100 people staring at me.
Amen.
Verse number 1, the Bible says this: Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Amen. The gospel, that we call that the good news. You want to know what good news is? Good news is you don't have to go to hell. Now you can if you want to. I mean, it's free country. But you don't have to. That ought to be good news. Which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Listen, there's people that send under gospel preaching, it goes in one ear and out the other. That don't count. Verse 3, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to Scripture.
Amen.
We're Bible people.
Yes, sir.
Amen. That book says that Christ died for our sin, and it doesn't stop there. It said that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day, according to Scripture. All right? And then it says, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. At the time when that passage was written in that epistle by the Apostle Paul, the greater part, the majority of those 500 were still alive. These are people that they were just alive. They saw the risen Savior. They confirmed that God is not only not dead, very, very much alive. God's not dead, brethren. It don't matter what it seems like. It don't matter what it feels like sometimes. I'm just here to tell you. That book affirms us God is not dead. I'll tell you something. We know where he's at right now. According to Scripture, it says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. If ye then be risen with Christ. You might not be, but you need to be.
Amen.
And you can be. And that book, that passage makes it clear that Christ is above and sitting on the right hand of God. Mark chapter 16 and verse 19 says this, so then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. I know where he's at. He's on the right hand of God. It says in Acts chapter 7 and verse 55, but he, talking about Stephen, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. How many ever heard the term right hand man?
Amen.
Somebody gets a designation like that, it's your most trusted helper. That's who Jesus Christ is to God.
Amen.
He's his right-hand man. We know where he is right now. They can say what they want, but God is not only not dead, he's alive and well, and he's seated on the right hand of God.
Amen. For sure.
And not only do we know where he is, we know what he's doing.
Amen.
I know what he's doing. I don't know what I'm doing half the time. But I know what he's doing.
Yes, sir.
It says in John chapter 14 and verse 3, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, ye may be also. I know what he's doing. He's preparing a place. He's preparing a place for me.
Yes, sir.
Are you saved? I guess he's preparing a place for you too. Amen. I look at this personal. I take this thing personal. I know what he's doing. Listen, I got to preach a funeral. I got to preach a graveside service for my mother-in-law, who was 100 years old when she went home to be with the Lord. The only problem with my mother-in-law is that she was so nice. She was so sweet, I never get to tell mother-in-law jokes. I was robbed of that. I mean, my mother-in-law was so nice that I've mentioned to my wife a few times that I wish she was more like her mother. Notice how I don't look at her when I say that. I can feel them darts. Amen. So she was a Catholic. She was a Catholic for many, many years. She got saved watching Billy Graham on television.
Amen.
Say, I don't believe that could happen. Well, you've been wrong before. You're wrong about that. Amen. So she had a Catholic funeral, and I'm there. The whole family's there. 9 kids. All 9 of them got saved.
Amen.
Through the years. My wife's mom and dad, They prayed that all their kids would find God, would have a relationship with God. And they all found God. Amen. And they all got saved. But Mom, you know, she is a member of St. Mary's. So I'm there. I looked around inside this church. And I studied that, Catholicism. Some of you are very familiar with it, my wife being one. And I wasn't personally familiar, but I knew some things about it. And I stood in that church, and I looked at some of the stuff, and watched that priest, and I looked at some of them people, and they were nice people and sincere people, and they were sincerely deceived people, and I felt sorry for them. Now, sometimes we get real critical of people, but I'm going to tell you what I've learned. Catholics make good Christians once they get saved. There's probably 24 of them in here right now. So let's make a point to try to win people to Jesus Christ rather than just slice and dice them because they're different than we are.
Yes, sir. Amen. Preacher.
That was good preaching. I can't believe I said that. Amen. Amen. So my wife's brother said this. We cannot. She wanted a Catholic funeral. Okay, we'll respect it. But we don't want the last words to be said over our dear mother, who was saved, to be from a priest. And so they asked my wife, do you think David would be willing to say some things at the gravesite? My wife didn't even answer. She just rolled her eyes and said, that's a dumb question. Problem is, David was on the Blue Ridge Parkway in North Carolina with a friend riding up and down that thing. And when I got word, I rode home to Ohio, changed clothes, drove up to Vermilion, 200 more miles, drove up to Vermilion, Ohio, and attended this funeral. And here we are at the gravesite, and there's a lot of people there. How many people were there? Well over 100. They met many people from my mother-in-law's church, all the kids, all the family of the kids, many saved folks. It's real interesting. There's a couple priests in full dress, and when you say that about a preacher, it's literal. I'm not trying to be ugly. That's his job. Anyway, sorry, bro. It just happens.
It's all right, preacher.
I know it is. And so I just stood there for the coffee. I mean, great. I started preaching. My wife, she had this Charles Finney moment because it got so quiet. My voice was so clear. And I appreciate that. She's my biggest fan. You know, pray for her. Anyway. And I just started off and saying, and all the Catholic people were very nervous. Because they knew, I mean, half the people there were saved Catholics. And I'm trying to be, I'm trying to lift up Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I said, listen, I understand today that a lot of us have different ideas about things. Because you could tell they were nervous. Except the priests, they were just trying to stand up. I don't know what they were doing on the way to the, I don't know. They didn't look nervous. So I says, I'm not going to capitalize on our differences here. We're here to honor my dear mother-in-law. So I just want to look at the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about where she is.
Amen.
Right this second.
Amen.
Because there was some talk in the building about purgatory. Amen. I keep looking for that. I'm open-minded, and I've read it. I can't find it.
Amen.
One of my kids said, Dad, I don't know about purgatory, but living with you in a Greyhound bus is like being in Spurgatory. I said, yeah, but we prayed you out. Get out. Amen. Amen. It says that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
Amen. That's where she is.
Yes, sir.
Your loved ones that have gone on to be with the Lord, that are saved, that's where they are. They're with Jesus. We know where he is. We know he's alive. We know where he is. We know what he's doing. It says in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25, I really like this. It says, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. I mean, we needed the sacrifice that he made to save our soul. We need more than that. We need him making intercession for us on a regular basis. And according to the word of God, he is. Amen. Sometimes we make a mess, think what it'd be like if he wasn't. Hey, listen, I'm trying to say here tonight, God's not dead. Those two verses, all those verses about where he is and what he's doing and making intercession and preparing a place, those pertain to people whose sins are forgiven. Well, not everybody's sins are forgiven. There might be somebody in here tonight. You might have it here, but you've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sin. Let me make something clear to you. There's two types of people. Two types of people in this world. It doesn't have anything to do with color.
Yes, sir, amen.
Amen. Doesn't have anything to do with whether they're good or bad. Doesn't have anything to do whether they are church people or non-church people. Doesn't have anything to do, amen, with sinners. Some are sinners and some are not. That book says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Boy, I'll tell you what, everybody in here tonight's got one thing in common. We're sinners.
Amen.
Now, some of us are saved by the grace of God. And I've been in meetings where guys like to just emphasize the fact that we're just those sinners. Let me tell you something. You've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. You better get off that horse and understand you're a child of the King. And quit using that sin nature as an excuse to play with sin, dabble in sin. There's victory in Jesus Christ. Amen. Two types of people. What are they? Forgiven and unforgiven. That's it. Amen. And I'm going to say, with all the compassion I can muster, if you're in here tonight and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you would be on the unforgiven side of that. Say, that's your opinion. No, that is not my opinion. Amen. That's Bible. Amen. My opinion is not worth any more than yours. Why would I stand up here and if I could assemble this many people to give my opinion to, I'd have charged you $100 a head. But I'm here to give you God's opinion out of God's holy book. Amen. And if you're in here tonight and you're not saved, you need to get saved. You need to get forgiven here tonight. And you can before it's too late. Somebody said, well, what do you mean too late? Let me tell you something. You wait for 1 millisecond on the other side of that last breath, and you waited too late. That rich man in Luke chapter 16, first words out of his mouth, have mercy on me. And you read through that passage, you'll find out he didn't get it. I got it. Amen. I didn't wait too late. Somebody said, well, how much time do I have? You tell me. You tell me how much time you got. If you haven't noticed, people are stepping into eternity at an unprecedented rate. Doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your health, doesn't matter. People are dying. That book says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. If I got no promise of tomorrow, but I got a Bible that says I die without forgiveness, I'm going to hell, that tells me, now I'm just old dumb biker, that tells me that today is the day of salvation. Amen. All right. And you know what else? When I say don't wait till it's too late, you know what else I could be meaning? Too late may mean once you get out of here. Preacher already prayed, mentioned the fowls of the air. We're sowing the word of God. We're sowing the seed. We're sowing the truth. And the devil is doing everything he can. Keep people in their seats. Get you out that door. Get you out there in your car. Get you out there listening to whatever you listen to. The cares of this life, the baby crying, whatever it is, I'm tired, I want to go to work. You wait till you get outside of the Holy Ghost conviction that we pray for.
Yes, sir. Amen.
If you can put it off one more time, here's the bottom line. The devil wins again. Now, I don't know how many shots he's going to give you. I don't know. But I wouldn't push it. Amen. We know the God of the Bible is not dead. And you say, well, I've got problems. Truth of the matter is, you may never be in a better position to get saved.
Amen.
Amen. Do you ever see a fireman rush into a building and pull somebody out that wasn't on fire? We have a problem. Amen. We have a sin problem. Listen, I got saved in the Montgomery County Jail, Dayton, Ohio, November 30th, 1990. Amen. It wasn't the first time I was locked up, and outside of that thing in Toronto, it was the last time, but that was another story, and I was trying to serve the Lord there, and we had a little mix-up. Amen. I was a convicted felon at the Canadian border. They didn't like it. Amen. But anyway, I was a member of an international 1%er motorcycle club, and I had risen to the rank of second in command. Say, I don't believe you. Well, buy my book back there, $15. Hey, man, buy it. I'll write it in there, whatever you want to know. And I got popped. I got busted. Drugs, guns, machine guns, all kinds of things. Arrested on federal drug and weapon charges. No bonded twice. I'm locked up. He said he was in a fight with 15 guys and got beat down. I was in a fight with 10, and I didn't get beat down. But that's because the door opened. It was in the cell, and next thing you know, I had about 10 cops in there. But I'll tell you, they charged me with inciting a riot. Me and 10 guys ain't a riot. That's just old-fashioned fist fight. That's what I did all them years. That's what your tax dollars taught me to do in the infantry. Fight. I was having fun. Amen. They took me out of there. Amen. Second time in one day, the place where I live filled up with cops. But I tell you what happened. I did get a private room out of the deal. Well, you got to pay extra for that in a hotel or a hospital. They put me in solitary confinement, which was fine with me. Amen. For about a week. And then it got boring. How much rest can one person... And so I'd write and fill out a kite. It's called a kite. I'd write, Spurgeon request to go to recreation. Denied. Spurgeon request to go to the library. I don't think those people even believed I knew how to read, let alone write a book. Did I mention that? It's back there. Anyway, Spurgeon request to go to counseling. Spurgeon request. And they denied everything. I said, what's the deal? What's going on? And they said, I don't know. I got it on here, man. You're not going nowhere. You're a menace to the other prisoners. I said, you have no idea. I rolled up a kite. I had to, because all I had in that steel door was a hole about that big. And it said, Spurgeon request to go anywhere. And I rolled it up. That's all I had was a pad and paper. And I stuck it in that little slot, and they took it. And about a couple days later, they came to the cell in the morning. Amen. 8 o'clock, Saturday morning. Big old keys. Turn the key. This old dungeon stuff. This isn't all this electronic. Amen. This is old jail. And I'm laying on the bunk, and they said, Spurgeon, you're going to church.
Yeah.
I said, no, I ain't. They said, yeah, I got it right here. You weren't supposed to come up here. They come all the way up third floor, solitary confinement. It said, you're supposed to go to church. And I made it real clear, no uncertain terms. I wasn't going to church. There's a black guy in the next cell, which happened to also be solitary confinement. He is a convicted murderer. We were locked up. He is my only friend when I was locked up. And you know what he said to me? He said, because his door was open too, and I had never even seen him at this point. We just conversed loudly through the wall. And he said, what he got to lose? He was going. And I said, okay, what do I got to lose? I went down there, and I heard a message out of Luke 16 on hell. I wasn't there when they were looking for God. I wasn't interested in any of that. I wasn't playing jailhouse religion games. I didn't get jailhouse religion. You know, jailhouse religion, the religion stays in the jail. Amen. Jesus got out the same day I did. Been with me ever since. I went down to that service, and that preacher, he just looked like another cop to me, only had a Bible instead of a gun. I'm rolling my eyes. And he says, "We're going to see what the Bible says about you guys," or three of us. "We're going to see what the Bible says about you guys." And I looked at him, old short-haired, tie-wearing, cop-looking guy, and I'm thinking to myself, "You have no idea. You're from a different world." I found out after I got out, if he'd been reading the newspaper or watching the 5 o'clock news, he might have known a little. I was a little TV star for a week. But he opened the Bible. He opened the right Bible right there in Romans chapter 3, and he read it. "All have sinned and come short of the glory of God."
Amen.
And I thought to myself, in that big old book, it did not take him very long to find me. You know why? Well, I was honest about that. I was not in denial. I knew I was a sinner. You know why we like preaching in prisons and juvenile detention centers? Them people know they're sinners.
Yes, sir.
You go to Romans 3, and you quote that verse, and they just hang their head. You can move on to step 2. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's church people you got to convince they're sinners. You say that to a church and they swell up, bow up. Who does he think he's talking to? Let me help you with that. You.
Amen.
Amen. So this guy preaches on hell and I'm thinking, oh, great. Thanks for cheering me up. He says, "I don't know what you guys are locked up for, but if you die in your sin, you're going to a lake of fire forever and ever." And I thought chaplains were supposed to make you feel better. You know, he did. He gave an invitation, and I didn't budge. I'm a tough guy. I'm a, you know, club member. I'm not gonna let some preacher think he got through to me. But I'm going to tell you what, I couldn't escape the message. Now, I didn't respond to that invitation, but 3 weeks later, I took that King James Bible that he gave me. I laid it on the floor next to my cell, and I asked the Lord to forgive me.
Amen.
And I didn't even know to ask to be saved. I said, if what that book says is true, if, I didn't even know, but I knew this, if it was, I had bigger problems than going to penitentiary.
Amen.
And I said, "Lord, if that book's true, it says your son went to the cross. That book says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord." Boy, did I slaughter them verses, or did you even know? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have ever, what kind of life? I looked that up. It means everlasting. I don't know what kind of life some people got, but when I got it, it's going to last forever. And I ain't over it. I can't get over it.
Amen.
Amen. That preacher got up there and preached on the cross, preached on hell like he believed people really went there. According to the Bible, people really go there. Then he preached on the cross on the road to hell. I got in. Time Magazine. Let me find my illustration. I see preachers getting a pulpit and they got all kinds of stuff. I got one piece of paper and I lost it. Time Magazine asks, "Is God dead?" Could I say tonight with all the authority I can summon, God is not dead.
Amen.
That's good. Let me tell you something else. God is not distant.
Yes, sir. Amen,
preacher. In Acts chapter 17, I think the preacher mentioned it last night. Acts chapter 17, you got Paul in Greece looking down on Athens, a city wholly given to idolatry, and the Bible said his spirit was stirred within him. Listen, America is getting there, and the problem is our spirit is not stirred within us as much as it was Paul, who tried to get out there with the common people and tell them about Jesus.
Amen.
And that's what he did. And here's what he said in verse 17 and verse 27. He said that they would happily seek the Lord, that they would seek the Lord, if happily they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. Amen. God's not far. God's not dead. God's not distant. Now, some of you ask about that presidential pardon. Many of you obviously forgot because I didn't get it. But I applied. It's a very lengthy thing, 30 pages. At the end, you sign a thing that, and you have to have it notarized. And if you told one lie, you're not only not going to get the presidential pardon, you're going to be charged with perjury. Amen. It was a complicated thing. They went through a lot of background checks and called my neighbors and everything. And I asked people to write letters and mail postcards. And I've asked people to pray. And as of now, it's been about 2.5 years, I have not received that. According to the Department of Justice website, it's pending. To which I say it's depending on God. And they say, well, Trump's not in the office. Biden won't give it to you. What if he does? Who do you, don't you think God will get more glory if I get it from a Democrat? Amen. Or Kamala Harris? I'll take it.
Amen.
I've got invitations to preach in about 5 or 6 other countries. And I'd like to get a passport and go if that's what God wants me to do. What are we talking about? God's not distant. To get a pardon from God. We sang about it. It's in so many of those songs. To get a pardon from God is much simpler than getting one from the president. Isaiah 55 verse 6 says this, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy unto him and to our God, for he will abundantly," help me out,
"pardon."
I got a pardon written in the blood of Jesus Christ 30-some years ago, and I'm here to tell you God is not dead and God is not distant. And that's not all. You ready to be impressed? God is not deaf.
Amen.
I know. I knew you'd be impressed. Amen. Well, what do you mean? Other gods are. It says in Psalm 115 in verse 6 that they have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. Why? Because they're just carved.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I mean, they're idols. They carve them. They go down to the idol shop. Hey, I need a new god. Okay, what? How many noses do you want him to have, you know? And they can't do nothing. It says in Psalm 135, verse 17, they have ears, but they hear not. Neither is there any breath in their mouths. Amen. They call them God, small g, but they don't hear no prayers. They can't do nothing. But David said in Psalm 40, verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry.
Yes,
our God's not deaf. Praise God, he'll bring people out of the horrible pit and out of the miry clay. Set their feet upon a rock and establish their going. Psalm 34 and verse 6 says, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Well, I called on him and I asked him to save me, but I still got some troubles. You ain't going to hell though. I mean, that's a big one. If he can take care of that one, you know, be patient. He waited for you. Maybe you should learn to wait on him.
Amen.
Amen. The God of the Bible is a prayer-hearing God. He's not deaf. Matter of fact, it says in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, let us therefore come unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need.
Amen.
I'll tell you something, you, believer, you'd do well to take advantage of that. I don't know about you, but I need all the mercy and grace,
yes,
I can get. And I know where to go to get it. Let me tell you something tonight. God's not dead. God's not distant. God's not deaf. Here we go. Last of all, how many of you believe me? Last of all, the God of the Bible is not done. As long as the church, who's the church? Us, the people. Amen? As long as the church is on the earth, there's work to be done. There's souls to be saved. Where's the promise of his coming? I'm going to tell you what, why the Lord hadn't come back yet. According to Dave Spurgeon, amen? You may know more Greek than me. If you know anything besides baklava, you know more Greek than me. And I'm going to tell you why the Lord hasn't come back yet is because he's not willing that any should perish.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now, when we come to the point where no more people are going to get saved, and he knows, I don't know, you don't know, then he knows he'll come back. But right now, it looks like there is work to be done. Amen. And that means, to me, that means there's hope for that loved one, for you, for that loved one or friend closest to hell. God's not done saving souls. He's not done saving lives.
Yes, sir. Amen. Good.
Boy, a verse got a hold of me one time, long time ago, Luke chapter 9, verse 56. Bible says this, "For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them." He saved my soul in a little cell in Dayton, Ohio, and that was over 30 years ago, and I'll tell you what he's done. He saved my life.
Amen.
Amen. I have a great life.
Yes.
Been in the ministry 24 years. I've been traveling since I was 18. That's 50 years ago. I can't believe it. Now I get to travel the last 24. I've been traveling coast to coast, all 50 states, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Got a wife that loves me, and she don't love me enough to ride along with me all them years. She loves God herself.
Yes, sir.
She wants to serve God herself. You get an opportunity to come to the ladies' meeting tomorrow, you will not be disappointed.
Amen.
She'll help you. I have a better life than I ever dreamed possible. Through it all, they sang it. God's been good.
Yes,
he saves life. He saves people. And that takes care of eternity, and they never seem to get in, or they let something said or some misconception usually drive them out, and they never get in on the benefits of a Christian life. Amen. That's too bad, but I'm glad I didn't miss it, because he saves lives. I have a better life than I ever not only ever deserved, but than I ever dreamed possible. Oh yeah. God's been good.
Amen.
And God's not done.
Amen, preacher.
Giving people chances.
Amen.
Either. Oh my, he's the God of the second chance. Are you kidding me? I burned that up first week I was saved. Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen, preacher.
The Bible says, "For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief." Amen. I started thinking about that. Seven times, okay. Well, that was under the Old Testament law, and we're under grace, so at least we get 70 times seven, right? I mean,
amen.
I'm glad God is in the reconciliation business.
Hallelujah.
And if we'll come to God in the right way, we can get things right.
Amen.
It says this in Hebrews 10 and 31, and I'll be done. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God.
Oh, amen.
Amen. Beloved, God is definitely not dead. And you know what? I don't worry about not ever worrying about falling into his hands. Because I'm already there.
Amen.
That context is judgment.
Yes.
Amen. I'm already there.
Amen.
I'm forgiven. I put my faith and trust in Christ. What a ride it's been.
Amen.
And I got a lot to learn. If there's anything I've learned is, the longer I'm alive, the more I got to learn. I went through that little period where I got it all figured out. God says, all right, buckle up. And I got the message, because I don't want to go through that again. And it just keeps getting better and better.
Amen.
Amen. So are you saved in here tonight? Are you in his hand? Are you secure? You can be. And if you're not, there's hope for you. Because God's alive. God's alive and well. He's not dead. Nobody's trying to convince anybody to join anything. It's an opportunity to get your sins forgiven once and for all. The most important issue that any human being, doesn't matter where you come from, none of that matters. The most important issue there is where are you going to go when you step into eternity? Because we're all stepping into eternity. And if that book's right, and I believe with all my heart it is, I'm going up. And if you're not saved and you step into eternity before you put your faith and trust in Christ, you're going down. And I don't say that to be negative. That's the best news you're ever going to hear, because there's a solution. And you can get it taken care of. And our prayer is you get it taken care of soon. Preacher?